here. You might not realize it, but I have two arms, two eyes, a nose, two ears. I have 10 fingers and 10 toes. Nice to meet you. Now, if I introduced myself like that, you might think I'm pretty strange, or maybe you're friends with me and you think I'm strange anyways, but that's besides the point. You kind of look at me and you tell me, well, Nate, you don't need to tell us that you have, you know, two arms, two eyes, a nose, ears, 10 toes, 10 fingers, etc. Because that's normal. Not that everyone has those things, because there are abnormalities. There are, mutations and different things that can happen to someone where some people might be born with one arm or no arms, or some people might be born without a nose, et cetera, et cetera. So that does happen. But by and large, the average normal person, that's just their description. So I don't have to introduce myself that way. Nate Williams, Dangerous Faith, and I have two knees. You'd look at me and that's kind of unnecessary. That's normal. Ladies and gentlemen, dear fellow Christians, assuming that most of my audience are Christians, we have to stop using the word cisgender. Or, yeah, maybe you haven't really used that word much at all. Don't use it if that's you. If you are using it, don't. And if you haven't started yet, don't, is what I'm saying. Here's why. Well, what is cisgenderism? The definition of cisgenderism is, this is online, identifying as having a gender that corresponds to the sex one has been assigned at birth, or not transgender. So basically, if you are a male physically, like biologically, you have the male body parts, and then you also feel like a male, like your mind, your body, your consciousness, they all line up. You feel male and you are male biologically. You're cisgender, cis or same. Same thing as a woman. If you are a biological female, you have the, you know, requisite parts, and you also feel female, then congratulations, you are supposedly cisgender. And that's kind of what you're called. You're a cisgender person. That's to be compared with trans people, that biologically they might be one way. However, the way they feel is the other way. So they could be a male stuck in a female's body, or they're a female stuck in a male's body. And that's where the trans comes in, because things are switched up inside of themselves. Now, the reason why cisgenderism exists, that word cis or same, is it comes from a worldview that's trying to normalize transgender ideology. So, for example, if someone's transgender, well, we don't want them to feel different or left out, so we're going to come up with a word that describes people who are normal and healthy. Well, they're cisgenders, with the goal being to normalize transgenderism, because you're either trans or you're cis. But here's the problem with that. Transgenderism, or gender dysphoria, is a mental illness. People who have gender dysphoria, again, things just aren't lining up, and what they require is not a celebration of normality. No, you don't do that. That's cruel. That's unloving. You want them to seek professional medical assistance. That's what you need to do. It's like depression and anxiety. If someone's depressed, you don't celebrate the depression. Oh, look, that's so wonderful. That's great. You're depressed. Yay. You don't normalize it. You say, because I love you and I care about you, I want you to go seek help. I want you to seek proper spiritual medical assistance for what you're going through. Same thing with, let's say, anorexia. If someone is anorexic, you don't celebrate it. You don't try to make it normalized. No, that's evil. That's cruel. That's unloving. You say, well, if you're in the appropriate space, you have the appropriate relationship to do this, you go to them and you say, because I love you, I want you to seek help. That's the loving thing to do with those who are suffering from gender dysphoria. You don't normalize a mental illness. And that's the goal of this whole creation of cisgenderism. Friends, cis is unnecessary. It is normal and healthy to match up your body and your mind for biological men to feel like men, for biological women to feel like women. That's normal. Just like my example at the beginning of this episode, how I don't need to introduce myself as having two arms and two ears and 10 fingers. I don't need to introduce myself as having those things because unless something has gone wrong, that's normal. It is the same thing with cisgenderism. It's redundant. You don't need it. And the whole goal underlying that, the creation of that term, was to normalize transgenderism. Because the thinking is, oh, look, if we're going to call trans people trans, well, we don't want to single them out as being odd or weird or different. Well, we need to call cis people cis. Cis being, if you haven't seen this word, C-I-S, cis. Well, okay, we've got to call trans people trans. We have to call cis people cis so that no one's left out or made to feel different. So as Christians, our response is don't use the term. Now, I'm not going to go – some more conservative commentators, they'll say cis is like a slur against straight people. Not straight people. It's a slur against, you know, people who are normally healthy. No, I wouldn't go that far. I've heard that from some commentators. Don't use the word cis because it's a slur against us. Maybe it was Elon Musk. Maybe it was Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire. I'm not going to go that far. What I would say is it's completely unnecessary, and there's a worldview underlying it. We have to be very careful about language. I guess this leads me into part two. Part one was talking about cisgenderism. Part two is about language. It's a very tricky world we live in, where some language seems innocuous, innocent, don't worry about it. But for example, pronouns, she, her, he, him. Well, the problem is underlying that worldview is a world where you can be something other than what you are. Friends, some things are fixed. And as an example of this, let's take transgender surgeries. We are expected to accommodate the way people feel because feelings are sincere. But if I go up to you and I say, hey, I'm a 6'5" African-American woman, what would you look at me? How would you look at me? What would you say? You'd be like, Nate, if you're sincere in this belief, I think something's wrong. Like, you might want to go get that checked out because height is not up to interpretation or feelings. I am not a 6'5" African-American woman. Now, let's see what else. Let's say age. Age is a big one. I identify, if I want a senior discount, I identify as 75 years old for the purposes of going out to eat. So I want some sort of discount. And okay, what are you going to do then? I'm not 75 years old. So what happens? age, again, another biological reality. It's not open to interpretation. It's not up to you and me. Your age is your age. You just do the math from your birthday and your birth year. Another thing I'm thinking about is surgeries. Imagine if I'm overweight. Let's say I'm morbidly obese, but I identify as a skinny person. It's how I feel. It's my truth. Well, guess what? If that's the way I feel, I expect you, the taxpayer, to pay for my health care, my weight reduction surgery. Now, because you got to help me live my truth. And if you're going to attach certain genitalia on me so that I can feel like a different gender, well, why won't you do these weight reduction surgeries because I identify as skinny? Do you love me? Do you care about me? If you don't help me, I'm going to go commit suicide. Again, just some of the tactics you see from transgenderism. So I could go on and on and on about these things, the inherent contradictions with transgenderism and the absurdity. So again, part one, I just talked about cisgenderism and how Christians should not use the term cis. It's nonsensical. It's not necessary. And then in part two, I guess I didn't get into it, but I want to talk about language. You have to control the battle of language. Be very careful. And I think that some people have been better at this than others. So for example, gender affirming care, that's been a term used by the political left for transgender ideology. Gender affirming care, you need hormones, you need surgeries, you got to swap body parts, whatever. That's not gender affirming care. That's gender mutilation. That's abuse. The gender-affirming care is the person that says, oh, if you're biologically a male, well, you're a male. If you're biologically a female, you're a female. It is me, the Bible-believing Christian. I'm the one that's affirming gender. But again, the language battle is a little bit against us. We have to regain it. What's another one? Loving and affirming. There we go. The political left has grabbed the whole loving, supportive mantra as well, where, I'm loving you by affirming the way that you're living. No, that's not loving. It is the Bible-believing Christian that says we're all in sin. We've all messed up. We all need to repent and turn from our lifestyle that we're living and give it all to Christ. That's the loving thing to do. So as someone who comes from an Orthodox church that holds to scripture, that holds to some of the traditions that have gone back all the way to the early church, I'm the loving one because I'm sharing the truth. Now, I need to do so graciously. But again, be wary of the language battle. We have to be careful. I think of another example, racism. Now, racism, it's a simple concept. It's discriminating against someone on the basis of skin color or ethnicity or culture. That's just general discrimination because of those things. That's racism. But it's kind of been twisted to now, for example, if you're white, you can be racist, right? Because you're a colonizer, you're European, you've had the structures of power that have benefited you. But if you're not white, let's say if you're black or you're Hispanic or you're insert some approved minority, this doesn't count for Jews and Asians, by the way. They're minorities, but they don't get to do this for other reasons I won't get into. But if you're part of an approved minority, you can't be racist. The worst you can be is prejudice. And the reason why is when the definition of racism was attempted to be changed, it was against white people. That to be racist, you also have to be in the majority. You have to be historically powerful. So, you know, in recent times, it would be Europeans. It would be white people in the West. Those people could be racist. But if you were one of the persecuted, if you were one of the oppressed, you couldn't be racist. Obviously, that's silly. Anyone can be racist. It's one of the oldest sins. So again, language matters. Part one talked about cisgenderism and why that's not necessary. Part two is we have to be very careful not to lose the language battle at the offset, because then language is what you use to communicate. So if language has been turned against you and the basic terms that you use are against you, you've already lost. Because you can't communicate ideas. So don't fall for it. When it comes to the definition of love, don't do it. Affirming, don't do it. Racism, cisgenderism, all those things. Don't let those words be twisted from the get-go, because then you've lost. Because here's what happens then. You're racist. You're hateful. You're not affirming. You reject. You're not loving. You hate, et cetera, et cetera. All of a sudden, well, you enter culture and you've allowed those definitions to be just accepted and you don't challenge them. You've already lost. So again, language battle, be aware of it, that as Christians, we're the loving ones. We tell people they need Jesus. We're against racism in all forms. Not just when white people do it, when any other group does it. Doesn't matter the skin color, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you didn't, if you're like, wow, this guy's terrible. I disagree with him. He's dumb. I actually want to know. Let me know your thoughts. You can reach out through social media. Dangerous Faith. You can find it on all the various platforms. We also have a YouTube channel. But also, I don't do this a lot, but I'm looking to raise financial support for the ministry. We seek to share the gospel. We seek to help people build up their faith through biblical teaching. So if you'd be interested in monthly supporting us, I would greatly appreciate that. You can find out more information on our website, dangerousfaith.net. But anyways, until next time, Nate Williams, glad to be with you. I'll talk with you later.